that there is a prophetic action describing the word that we are committed to. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You can do better than that. Please shout a loud hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. When my brother on that side read that passage, I felt it seared on my heart. I felt that the Lord again has spoken. And you will see why I say this in a few minutes. I might speak slow because I'm tired. You should know my itinerary in the last few days. But the Lord is here. And he is not tired. He never tires. Can you say amen to that? Give him a loud shout of praise. I was in Houston 2 days ago. And there was a worship service. And one young man just wanted to show God how grateful he is to him. So he carried the chair and put it on his head. And he was dancing around. He wanted to do something different. Get up and do something different. Do something different for what God has already done. Stand up, stand up. Do something different. Do something different. Give him praise. Worship him. Magnify him. Exalt him. Today is a prophetic day. Today is a day in his presence. Do something different this morning. Something that you have never done before. Do it this morning. You can dance like David danced. Do something different. For the Lord is God. And we are the sheep of his pasture. I want you to know that his presence is in this place. He's here to help you. He's here to define our future. Is here to cause our name to become an eternal excellency. Jehovah is here. We give him praise this morning. We give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The lover of our soul, we sing and we praise your name. The Lord of praise, the mighty warrior of Israel. The strength that never fails. The joy that is eternal. The glory and the lifter up of our head. The strength of Israel. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Amen. You know, I was studying this morning and I suddenly get to a portion of the scriptures. We are the enemy of Israel, handed unto David their inheritance. Your enemy is ready to hand you. I'm not talking about your inheritance. Your inheritance is secured in God. Let's put that one aside. And all of a sudden, the enemy woke up and said, even my own inheritance will take. Shout hallelujah. You know, I am just so grateful to God for this morning. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God because his word is yea and amen. It's true. It does not fail. Let me try to share with you what I have, what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. Most of you know the stories of David. You know the pain that he went through. I'm going to be sharing with you from a place where David experienced massive pain. Massive pain. But it was a place that guaranteed the future of his generations. And I'm going to be sharing with you the secret, the things that David did in that place to make a difference. And I'm going to start by asking you a question. You know, I'm a teacher. I told you, Pastor Carl told you, I'm the president of a Bible college. How I wish all of you will come. Everyone is invited. So when shall we start? You know, what's his name? He said, Master, let's build 3 tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Pastor Carl, they are ready. Shall we go to the back of the hall and begin the classes? The Bible College is a blessed place. It's an exciting place. We would like to have a campus here. And I'm ready to sign you up today. If you are ready to come, can you say amen to that? I might even consider giving some people scholarship. So don't let money stop you. Can you say amen to that? And guess what? Icing upon the cake in a few days, Daddy Gio will be shaking you. Well done. Well done, my daughter. Well done, my son. Amen? Praise God. But let's talk about our heritage. When I say let's talk about our heritage, what picture came into your heart? What did you see? What word jump into your heart? We have a hope that is eternal. But he that gave us an eternal hope and has promised us an eternal home sent us to spend some time on this planet. And I want to talk about our heritage. I know that when I said about our heritage, a lot of people began to think, some people, maybe not a lot. I believe this is wisdom assembly. Some people, not a lot, began to think about their father's cocoa farm and the houses he has in Agenebode and stuff like that. No. The great God has given you this land for a possession. I would say better amen if I were you. He didn't bring you here as an accident. You know, I am having a problem in the last few days. And the problem is this. People ask you, when are you coming home? And I have lived so long in America that it is becoming difficult for me to think of that other place as home. Somehow God has given me a calling to this country. He has given me a ministry in the midst of this nation. I love where I come from. I am a good Yoruba boy. Actually, I'm a prince of Yoruba land. But God has chosen me to be a prince in this land that he has sent me. You know, maybe to a woman here, God is saying, forget your mother's father's house. Because I have determined that the king's daughter shall become glorious in the middle of America. Where's the king's daughter who will be glorious? He said that your dress will be gold of opa. you know, the best kind of gold possible. Come on, somebody should rejoice now. He said, when you walk, there will be such a perfume around you that people will say, where did she get that? And they will not find it. You will be unique. Uncopyable. If there's any English like that, no one will be like you. Not so that you can consume upon your lust, but so that He can be glorified. So whenever you look at America, and you close your eyes and you look inward, let me ask you, what do you perceive? What do you perceive? Maybe you should do the exercise. Draw inside your closet and ask yourself, what can I see? Beyond what you can see for the nation, ask yourself, what can I see for myself in the midst of this land? For what purpose do I see my existence here? In this place where God has located me. I want you to think about that. Don't take it light. Because we are now talking about generational issues. I believe, listen to this, people. I believe that there is a reason why God placed you here. Touch yourself. Put your hand on your chest. And say, there is a reason why God placed me here. Listen, people, I believe there is a prophetic purpose why God transplanted you. I don't know your name. I don't know the village that you come from. I don't know your heritage, where you are coming from. But God did not make an accident when He went into the middle of those 160 million people. And said, you from the southeast, over. You from the southwest, over. And He sent you over. You know, that's what we say in Nigeria. He has gone over us. And from wherever you may come. Maybe you are even born in this nation. And you've lived all your life in this region. Maybe God is still saying to you, it is my season to send you over. Wherever you have been under, I want to place you over. Would you believe this? I believe in my spirit that God, who created Kansas City, is already unleashing a tornado of a spirit that will lift you above rainbows and put you in a place, in a land of deep mysteries. If you understand literature, you will know that I have quoted a literary portion. You are in Kansas, but God didn't send you here to be the, He sent you here to enter into the heritage of this place. Brothers and sisters, I have a feeling that God may be choosing to give us access into the labors of people that we do not know. How do I explain this to you? That God may be giving you an harvest, a privilege to harvest in places you have not planted. You know, when I meet people and their statement, their song is, I gotta pay my bill, I gotta pay my bill. I feel very sorry for them. To be honest with you, I feel very sorry. Because your bill should not be your driving purpose. The mercy of God and the operation of the mysteries of his grace should be the driving purpose of your life. Now I am saying to you, I came into this country with $200 in my pocket. I landed in New York. I thought that it was like going from New York. I actually was coming to Missouri, just near you here. I thought that going from New York to Missouri was like going from Lagos to Ilorin. That was my mental set. I had a wife and a child and $200 in my pocket. And I came to graduate school. But somehow, by the mystery of the grace of God, I got to St. Louis. Oh, I can't hear somebody saying amen. By the mystery of the grace of God, I went to Washington University in St. Louis that they call Harvard of the Midwest. The best university, one of the best universities in this nation. Actually, my department was the best department in this nation. I didn't have a cupboard. I finished. And Fidel came to St. Louis. And he looked at me and he said, "You are a professor." I said, "I'm not a professor." He said, "You're a professor." I said, "I'm not a professor." He said, "Kneel down." And I knelt down. You all know Fadel, right? And he prayed. Our chairman, Redeemed Christian Church of God in North America. And we all forgot about it. And I moved across country to Seattle. And we started a church. Again, penniless. Just like your pastor. The day I entered Seattle City, and if you know, Seattle is a funky city. It's postmodern. It's very interesting. Population of black people in Seattle was, when I got there, was 8%. And then the Lord said to me, "Go to the city of Bellevue, which is a suburb of Seattle." And I didn't know that he was getting me into trouble. And I said, and I didn't know a soul. I didn't have an email. I didn't have a phone number when I entered Seattle. Just a word from the Lord. Go. And I went. There is a mystery of the grace of God that is not dependent on the sweat of your brow. And I think today that God wants to release some people into the mystery of supplies. Because I see a walk of the king around me and my heart is being stirred. That it is people that will cause this to happen. It is people that will do this work by the release of a resource that God will put in their hand. And I think there may be some of those people seated in this place. Jesus of Nazareth, you are true, you do not lie. You are the God of grace that caused grace to abound beyond what we can think or imagine. According, people, God sent me to Bellevue. And I said, "I've come to start a church in Bellevue." And the people in Seattle asked me, "How many people like you do you see here?" And I said, "That's true. Not many." Okay. We shall see. But God said, "Go to Bellevue." And then I got to Bellevue and I found out that the headquarters of Microsoft was just a distance from my house, walking distance. And the house of Bill Gates is like 5 blocks from my house. And yet I found a house 5 blocks from Bill Gates' house without a penny. How do you get a house 5 blocks from Bill Gates' house without a penny? Without a job? Just missionary. There is a mystery of God's provision. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a mystery of God's provision. And then we have to find space to do church. This God, when he says go, he makes a way. 5 years, there was a space that nobody would rent. 5 years. So the owner of the space said, even if you will give me $1,000 a month, I will take, just to make sure that the place is being used. I said, I don't have a problem with that. Here is $1,000 a month. I don't have it when I promised. But we took the place. Now they are moving. This God. There are not many people like me. Where God sent me. But the best brains from Africa, not many of them, they are there. I didn't know. The young computer, the guys that make Bill Gates shine from Africa, they are there. And slow by slow, little by little, small by small, we began to get to know each other. Slow by slow, little by little, faithfulness. Those people, they don't, you can't deceive them. You can't impress them. Listen, these guys sit at the same table with Bill Gates and tell him to his face, sir, you can't do that. One of them in the church this morning is a partner. There are just 100 partners all over the world of Microsoft. And one of your boys is a partner. And if you see him, you wouldn't even know he has a cup in his pocket, humble to the extreme, just desirous of serving the Lord, is in the church. When God said, go to Bellevue, I didn't know he was there. Are you listening to me? There was a 24-year-old girl who used to do exactly what my brother is doing here. Just crazy girl. He said, when I look into the computer, I get energized. That's what she says. She said, when I confront coding, I'm like a child in the candy shop. 24 years old, she already has 6 patents to her name. I am 50-something years old. I don't have one. I don't know how many of you have patent. Oh, I speak with you from the depths of my heart. Follow the Lord. Follow his leading. Walk in his pathway. There is a thing for you to inherit in this land. There's an heritage of God that he has placed specially for you. Listen, it is not just in Seattle. It's in Kansas City. There's a place that has been made for you. But you will not access it by wishing. You will not access it by walking in the flesh. I can tell you stories upon stories. Upon stories. The present pastor. The day I met his wife, I greeted her. I said, I think you're a Nigerian girl. She said, yes. I said, my name is Pastor Shayo. I would like to get to meet you. She walked so fast from me. You see, because you know our reputation now, Nigerian church. And rightly so. Rightly so. We make life difficult for the young people. We stress them. We put on impossible demands on their. The demand where Jesus no demand. We demand it from them. So when I said, hello, hello, I'm a Nigerian pastor, she added to her leg. But God brought her, and the rest is history. They are now the pastor of the same church that they ran away from at the age of 31. The pastor of a major church at the age of 31. Actually, at the age of 29. Now, he's 31. And guess what? I sat at the leadership meeting of this church 3 weeks ago. And they were giving a report. And I sat there. Pastor Kali. Pastor. These boys. They are supporting 5 churches. They're giving money every month to 5 other churches. After they have paid their bill, these guys, they showed me the balance sheet. And I'm like, oh Lord, you did not make a mistake. Because it was running in hundreds of thousands, not a few hundreds of thousands. There is a mystery of divine grace. This is not how I intend to do this today. And my time is running. But this is what God wants you to understand. And I am here to share it with you. It shall come to pass, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. Somebody, please let me put it on. He said, and it shall come to pass when the Lord your God brings you into the land which is swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to you a great and splendid cities which you did not, which of our fathers was here when they started Kansas City? Did you build it? But God is saying you will own it.
Amen.
Did you hear me at all?
Amen.
God is saying you will own it, and it will be before my eyes like this. He said, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. He said, you will eat and you will be satisfied. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. There is a mystery of divine engagement. It is not by power nor by might. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. When Jacob ran into trouble that he could never get out from, God taught him genetic engineering. When they were going to trick Abraham into becoming a servant in the midst of a nation to their generations, God showed him real estate management, and he bought their land. He said, I will pay for it. And foolishly they said, okay, oh yeah, here is it, take, and he paid. And up to today, even their children will tell you that this place belongs to Abraham. If Abraham did not buy that land, what would be happening with the Palestinians today? There are lands that you must buy. Listen to me. There are lands that you must buy. There are wells that you must dig. There are battles like David that you must fight. Don't be afraid of battles. Don't be afraid of battles. You will not be glorified if you do not have victory Are you listening to me? There are battles you must fight. So don't be scared of battles. Get ready. Quit ye like men. Fight for your children. Fight for your future. The Lord told me that some of your children will be household names in this nation. The same way they say Bush, they will suddenly begin to say Lawansen. Can you feel? I mean, I am excited now. I am excited now because I look on that side and I see President Senator Mrs. Mayor. Would you like to sit down and your own child too will walk, your daughter, and sit down. Senator. Shall I boast? Listen to me. There's a hope and a future for us. Let your heart be steered. Think like David. I don't know how to end this. There's an eponymous engagement that is cheering in the midst of the nations. I was driving with the principal of a Bible college in Nigeria 3 days ago in Houston. As we drove, we were seeing those huge skyscrapers. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord stirred in my heart and said, do you know, sir, that in a few days, just like they say, Trump Towers, that's how they will be saying, Onyejekwere Towers, Ajiboye Towers, Lashore Towers. We own this land. Not to consume upon our lost, but to give God glory. And I wrote in my note here, I said, that season comes. And it is quick. When suddenly the glory of the city will be tied to the glory of the Lord in your generations. They will not be able to do anything except they consult your line. They will say, let's go and talk to him. Ash. Do you know that the political system that is going on now, the election that is going on, it's just 100 families that is financing it. Just 100 family. And they know themselves. God will suddenly demote some of them. I say God will demote some of them. And God will choose to promote your child. In the name of Jesus. It shall be said again in the midst of this land, that city, O city, O city of God, glorious things are spoken of you. You know, enough of this foolishness that is flowing around America. Enough of the wickedness that we are seeing. Enough of the negativity that fills the land. A time will come when there shall be a song in the midst of the land. And it says, city, O city, O city of God, glorious things are spoken of thee. Suddenly American cities will become cities of God. God can do it again. God can do it again. He said, glorious things are spoken of you. This one and that one was born inside you. You know, you are having those children, you don't know their destiny. You don't know what is wrapped up in your house. David's mother may have an idea, but he didn't know that David would still be making impact 7,000 years later. Some of them are in your house. You know? They are in your house. So I see a beautiful land, a place of broad white fields, a peaceful habitation. I believe that God will show America another season of mercy. That God will cause a new generation's hand to strongly guide this land into its destiny. You know, I believe that even though we're a nation destined for war, we shall be a people that get mercy. For God says, I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And the revelation of the mercy of God shall come through the instrumentation of people in wisdom assembly. You are the key. You are the key. You are the key. I want you to say to your neighbor and say, I am the key. Shake yourself and say, I am the key. I am the key. I am the key to God's mercy for this nation. You are the key. Come on. You are the key. You are the key to Israel. Do not be afraid of warfare. Do not give up in a season of obvious loss. That man said to Abraham, if I can't find a wife for your child, should I take him back to the old land? He said, don't dare. Don't dare. Take this land. Make it yours for Jehovah. Are you listening to me? How shall I explain this? Make it yours for Jehovah. Access the place of the Spirit when you make your decisions. I told you, they said to me, how many people like you do you see? I said, not many. Today, that seed is supporting 5 other churches financially every month to the tune of thousands of dollars. A church. You know they are not poor. And if you see them, they're just simple people whose heads are correct and their heart is right. You understand what I'm saying? No ears, no ears. Even the pastor, you see him jumping over here, you know, and everybody is just happy in the Lord. Access the place of the Spirit. Many times people came to me, leave Bellevue. It's too expensive. It's one of the most expensive spots in this nation. And I said, God has not allowed me. God has not. I can't explain it. God has not allowed me. I have 3 minutes more, Pastor. My last point. Treat people that you meet with respect. Treat people with honor. Honor the brotherhood. Treat, you know, very simple things. When you make your decision, assess the place of the Spirit. Ask yourself, Lord, what would you have me do? Very simple. Don't be a religious person. God hates, I am not religious. No, I hate religion. I can't stand it. But I love God. I love God with passion. My heart is on fire for him. And God hates religious people. He cannot stand them. He can. You look at David. He went into to meet Ahimelech. And Ahimelech said, he's only the bread that is meant for priests. That I have. David said, that one too. Is good. That one too is good. For in a few days, it shall be proclaimed that we are the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. We can eat it. We can bring it. We would make do with it. Bring it. He wasn't a religious guy. Don't be religious. But love God with passion. Love God. Be crazy for Jehovah. Don't, especially, how do you know you love someone? You give. That's all. It's very simple. Oh, I love God. I love God. How much have you given him this year? Oh, I love you. I love you, God. Shut up. How much has come out of your checkbook this year? If nothing has come, sorry. Maybe you don't love him. My 50th birthday, they bought me a beautiful Lexus Jeep. These same boys, when they showed me Lexus, I opened my mouth, the thing nearly dropped down. Wine colored, superb, cha cha. Say, me too. Me, that, in my head, the equation did not balance. Lexus. Did I tell you that even before then, in 3 years, in 5 years, they gave me 3 cars? These are the kind of guys that get things done with God. In 5 years, they gave me 3 cars, and one of them gave 2 of it. One boy gave 2 cars in 5 years. He looked at me. He said, Pastor, I think you need a Jeep. This sedan is no longer good enough. Jeep? I said, because I know his mother in Nigeria. He said, this one, which I am still trucking around, is still okay. He said, no. He said, I'm going to buy you a Jeep Cherokee. No, Jeep Cherokee. Cool. Actually, he bought it and he brought it. And he left the key on my table. So I called him. What's this? He made sure I wasn't in the house. And I said, I know the mother has challenge with leg. And I said, have you sent Jeep to Mama in Nigeria? Me, I'm not taking this. He said, no, Pastor. You taught us to walk by the Spirit. God did not tell me to send Jeep to Mama in Nigeria. God sent me to give you a Jeep. Those are the kind of people who go places. No wonder they give him a job that requires 25 years at the age of 26. I know my time is up, Pastor. And I'm finishing. Listen, people. Listen. I wanted to tell you that if you go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 14, you will see that the foundation of the Philistines in Israel, in the land of Palestine, is in a place called Kash. I can't even pronounce it. It is Genesis chapter 10, verse 14. That is a foundation. That's the place. That's the ancestral homeland. That is the core de la core of the Philistine. When they came from the Aegean Sea and they got to Palestine, their ancestral base was that place. Have you read it? Kashluhim. Kashluhim. Bible scholars teach us that the place called Kashluhim is one and the same place that they later started calling Ziklag. What it was the first their foundational place. What did Achish do? In 1 Samuel chapter 27. Baba Kali. Achish said, David, I give you Ziklag. I give you what? Ah! God will make your enemies mad. How do you give? Would the children of Israel ever give away Jerusalem? Eh? They said, even if I forget you, they said, let my right hand lose its glory. But Achish said, David, here is my ancestral homeland. Take it. God made him mad. God did what? There are people who God will cause to hand over their inheritance to you for the sake of the glory of God. I challenge you, stand on your feet, make a decision today. I will serve you, I will worship you, I will follow in your ways. If you feel stirred in your heart, come in front here and let's pray together. Step out. Let's pray together. If you feel that the Lord has a plan for you in the midst of this nation, in the midst of this land, join me in front here. Let's make a covenantal prayer this morning.